Who's the United States champion? I don't know. Who's the Raw Women's champion? I don't know. Does Rey Mysterio still have his eyesight? I don't know. Who won the swamp fight? I don't know. Why do I still watch this shit? I don't know. This is your Extreme Rules, the horror show review here on the Solid Monster Sounds Off channel for Sunday, July 19, 2020. I am the Solid Monster. You know, horror show is a perfect way to describe parts of this pay-per-view tonight. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case, but here we are. Gonna have a lot to say about this show. I don't even know what I just got done watching there at the end. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to go off the pay-per-view doing what they did. At least at WrestleMania, you know, when they did the whole acid trip thing with The Fiend and John Cena, you know, it wasn't the main event. You know, the Boneyard match made for a really good main event. Boneyard match was just a fight between two guys, personal issue built up, really good stuff. And then we got whatever it was that we got here on this show tonight. WWE, they love making movies. They love making movies. I am going to take calls later, but there's also something else that we're going to be doing here in the stream, and I want to just show you real quick here. Very excited. A little bit later on tonight, going to be hosting this month's Wrestle Rumble contest. We are giving away six, there you see them on your screen, six replica belts. Six replica belts are going to be divided up amongst three very lucky winners to be chosen at random by yours truly. Last month, we had over 3,000 entries. We blew that out of the water this month, over 4,700 entries. Are you one of the winners? Well, I guess you're just going to have to wait and find out. Okay, let's get into this here because they added a match at the last minute on the kickoff show, which they always do. Kevin Owens and Murphy relegated to the kickoff show. That was a late addition and a pretty good one, too. These two guys are two of the very best they have on Monday Night Raw. Not a huge surprise that they would nail it, and I thought they did. I thought they had a very good match here in the kickoff. So, like, you know, when the pay-per-view began at the beginning of the night, you know, it was like, all right, this is a pretty cool way to kick things off. You know, get kind of a hot match here. Owens and Murphy just doing what they do best. Not a bad way to start the show. And then, of course, peaks and valleys. It went downhill. Some of those matches, some of those segments, it went downhill. I'll get into that. Owens hit a cannonball in the corner. They were fighting up top. Owens tried for a pop-up powerbomb. Murphy escaped, caught Owens with two wicked knees and a brainbuster for a near fall. They fought up top again, and he knocks Murphy down. And Owens, you know, we haven't seen him do this move in a while. It is one of the moves in his moveset. It will never not impress me to see him on the second rope do the springboard up to the top rope and then turn around and hit a moonsault. That's an impressive move. You know, Kevin Owens is not a cruiserweight. So he hit the moonsault, near fall only. Finish came when Owens caught him with a super kick and then hit a stunner for the win. Great sell on the stunner by Murphy. You know, we know Owens can bring it. Murphy's the real deal. Murphy is the real deal. The guy always delivers. The stuff that he does in there with Aleister Black and really anybody you put him in the ring with, he should be going places for sure. So then we get into the pay-per-view itself. Pay-per-view opened with the tables match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The New Day defending against Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. There's not a huge dearth of tag teams on SmackDown right now. You know, Cesaro and Nakamura have been together for a while. They were two singles guys that they merged together. They were all together with Sami Zayn, and Sami Zayn said, I'm going home. So they stripped him of the Intercontinental title, and they left these two guys by themselves, directionless, really with nothing to do. And as Cesaro is known to do, he makes the best of a bad situation, right? They don't have anything better for him. Okay, I'll go out there, and I'll have great matches with Shinsuke Nakamura. Nakamura is no slouch. He can go out there and have a good match when he wants to. You know, when they did this with Cesaro and Jack Swagger, they sort of just fused them together because they had nothing better for them to do. They turned into a pretty damn good tag team. They turned into a pretty good tag team together. Cesaro, if you ask me, who do I think is the most underrated person in WWE? I don't care how many hashtags people have trending, hashtag this, hashtag Naomi deserves better. You know who deserves better? Cesaro. Cesaro has been there longer than Naomi and longer than a lot of these people. And it blows my mind that this guy has never had a run, even a short one, with a world title. And they've got two of them. I don't even think he ever challenged for one. But he takes what they give them and he makes the most of it. This was not the best tables match I've ever seen, but it may have been the best finish to a tables match that I have ever seen. The finish to this match was just insane. It was wild. We saw Big E give Cesaro the spear through the ropes, off the apron, onto the floor. And New Day put Cesaro on the table. There was a table at ringside. And they put Cesaro on there. Big E launched Kofi. So Kofi comes off the ropes and Big E launches him over. And as Kofi is coming down, Cesaro and Nakamura have a table. They hold it upright, slam it into Kofi. Kofi's splattered. He's down. Cesaro and Nakamura, they attempted a double suplex to Big E through a table. Big E reversed and suplexed Cesaro into the ring. Kofi hit a truss dive onto Nakamura outside. So New Day stacked up two tables outside the ring, which is important because it plays into the finish of this match. So they stack up these tables, and they keep wrestling. You know, they're doing a few more spots. Cesaro gives Big E the big swing into a basement drop kick from Nakamura. So Kofi is taken out. Big E is taken out. So Kofi is left with the two heels. And they're up by the top rope, and Kofi tries to give Cesaro a hurricane run. He's gonna give him a rana off the ropes through the two stacked tables outside the ring. Cesaro, of course, he's got all that core strength. He holds on to Kofi. And with an assist from Nakamura, he muscles him up. And from the top rope, Cesaro gives Kofi Kingston a powerbomb through both tables down below. He murdered this man, just drove him down through the tables. Both tables broke. Thankfully, he could have bounced. Anything can go wrong in a big spot like that, but he went right through the tables. And Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, they are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They have unseated the New Day during their, number 8? I think tag team title run number 8 for the New Day. I'm sure number 9 is right around the corner. That finish was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane, and it was pointed out to me in my Twitter replies by one person whose name escapes me, but he pointed out to me that Shinsuke Nakamura remains undefeated at Extreme Rules. Had I known that coming into the pay-per-view, maybe I would have changed my prediction, but he hasn't had that many matches. He's 3-0. I guess 3-0 is a streak, not a long one, but he is undefeated. Perfect 3-0 record. He's beaten Jeff Hardy. Last year at Extreme Rules, he beat Finn Balor to win the Intercontinental title on the kickoff show. They had a Shinsuke Nakamura-Finn Balor match on the kickoff show for the Intercontinental title. And Nakamura won. And here he is this year winning another championship. So good for him. He's got a good thing going for him. But again, Cesaro, always impresses me. I say it all the time. It's been years. I've been singing this guy's praises for years. Everybody in the company talks about, how deceptively strong he is and the things that he can do in the ring. I hope one day he is rewarded. I hope one day that Cesaro is rewarded in the way that Dolph Ziggler somehow keeps being rewarded. Now, maybe he never wins the big one. Well, he did once many years ago. We had Dolph Ziggler challenging for the WWE Championship in the year 2020 in one of the main events on pay-per-view. Now, you tell me why Cesaro isn't deserving of getting a shot, even just one time. One time. If Dolph Ziggler can keep being fed world title matches, then this fucking guy deserves at least one. Ridiculous. So now they're the champions, but it's like, what other teams do they have? You know, on SmackDown, what does that division look like? Otis and Tucker, are they even much of a team anymore? Otis is Money in the Bank. I don't know where he is. New Day just lost the belts. We don't need to see them get them right back. I mean, who else is there? The Forgotten Sons have been forgotten. The Usos, Jimmy Uso is hurt, so it's going to be a few more months at least before we see the Usos back together. That tag team division is in shambles. On SmackDown right now, I got Miz and Morrison. John Morrison is being jobbed out on television. He's being bounced around like a jabron. They got to work on that tag team division. It's nice that they won the belts, but what does it really mean if you don't have much of a division? That's what I would say. What is going on, my friends? I hope you guys are having a great night. I want to thank you for joining me here live on this stream tonight. I very much appreciate that, for you choosing me for your Extreme Rules recap. And as we go along here, I'm going to be acknowledging some people who are donating, so don't mind me. The Game DX15 with the Super Chat. JWD82X. Prince Walker with the $5. Recon Sun. We have Recon Sun in the chat with us every week, so thank you for the $5. 5-0 Yankees. Hey, Recon Sun. Thank you for the update. Appreciate it. Mr. Pro Wrestling with the $20. Not a great show, but you gotta love a pay-per-view that ends before 10. Well, that is the one thing I will say I do enjoy. That's the biggest compliment I can pay to this show. It was over before, I think it was over before 9:30. So, we'll do more of these as we go along. Nikki Cross against Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Alexa and Sasha were both at ringside in their respective corners. I actually thought, you know, the SmackDown Women's title match was a good match. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good match. Not as good. I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the Raw Women's title match, but I thought both women's title matches were at least good, if not very good, here tonight. And in fact, they were some of the highlights of the entire show. If you really think about it, I mean, there weren't that many matches on the card tonight. The women's matches, I mean, we'll talk about that finish to the Raw Women's title match. That was not a highlight of the show. But I got to give the women their props here. I thought they had some of the better matches in the card. So right out of the game, Nikki Cross, she goes for a neck breaker. The announcers are building it up like, oh my God, she's going to win. I'm like, shut up, Cole. So they keep going here. Of course, Bayley kicks out. And Nikki Cross hit a flying crossbody off the apron onto Bayley at ringside. Bayley recovered and tossed her into the plexiglass at ringside. So Nikki locks on the crossface. And Bayley recovers, belly to Bayley for a near fall. Late in the match, Bayley went for a charge in the corner. Nikki moved. Bayley went right into the turnbuckle. And Nikki Cross hit a neck breaker off the apron to the floor. Now, Sasha Banks is out there. And Sasha Banks, now, Bayley's in a bad way. And Sasha passes, she has that boss ring. I think they called it, did they call it like Nux? I don't know what they called them. But it's this giant, like, boss ring, and she hands it to Bayley. Referee didn't see it, and when Nikki comes over, Bayley uses it and bashes her with it, boom, right in the midsection. Then she gave her some kind of driver down into the mat. I think she has a name for it. I don't remember what the name is, but she hit her move and she got the pin. So Bayley does what Bayley has been doing now for weeks and weeks and weeks on television. She had to cheat to win, but it was the right decision. It would have been the wrong move to take that championship off of her before Bayley can defend against Sasha. So it was the right outcome. Predictable, sure, but it's what they had to do. I assumed it was going to feed into a certain finish later on in the show, and then they kind of swerved me and did something that I wasn't expecting, but we'll outline that. But again, good match, right outcome, and kind of fed into the match that came later on in the show. They had a Firefly Funhouse segment that was done like, first of all, the fact they would even have a show like this, like a horror show in July and not wait until October, I found that very strange. I don't know why you wouldn't wait until Halloween season to do a show like that, but I guess with the whole swamp fight, they felt they had to go with the horror theme, I guess, and so that's what they did. So we got a Firefly Funhouse segment here. We got spooky Halloween music and Bray is talking in the Dracula accent. And then he promises he's going to show us something terrifying. And they cut to footage of the karaoke contest on SmackDown from 2 weeks ago. So then they cut back to Bray, and Bray is yelling at Ramblin' Rabbit. He's blaming him for playing the footage. Yes, they are self-aware. They are acknowledging their own crappy television. They are acknowledging their own crappy creative decisions. Well, hey, I'm glad they're self-aware. But it's one thing to be self-aware and to not do that shit again. We know we're going to get more segments like this, right? In the future, many more times in the future. And sometimes they will acknowledge horrible segments, but yet they continue to do horrible segments. It's like, you know, you would think that they would learn their lesson, but no, there'll be more stupid contests in the future. They never learn. They never learn. They have a sense of humor about it, but they never learn. That was really the only thing I remembered about that segment. That was the Firefly Funhouse. MVP. MVP against Apollo Crews for the United States Championship did not take place as advertised. They blamed it on him showing up and still not being medically cleared. I'm going to guess that Apollo Crews did not show up. But they claimed he did, and he was not medically cleared. They blamed it on the attack last month from Lashley when Lashley put him in the full Nelson. Sounds like poor Apollo might have the Rona. I'm not saying he does, because I don't know if he does or not, but seems like he may have been one of the guys who, unfortunately, got a case of the Rona. So MVP comes out with Lashley, and he announces that Apollo Crews is not here, and so therefore, and he leaves the ring, he goes over and he collects his brand new United States Championship belt that he had commissioned. He brings it into the ring, he has Bobby Lashley strap it around his waist, and he says, by way of forfeit, the new United States Champion, MVP. And that was it. And they walked off. That was the whole thing. There was no replacement. There was no announcement of something even to preview for Raw tomorrow night. Nothing. He strapped on the belt and he walked off. And the announcers, they did not recognize him as the champion, only as the self-proclaimed champion. So it does not sound like, you know, an officially recognized title change. You know, maybe what they're setting up for is a WrestleMania 10 situation where when Apollo Crews, hopefully in a few weeks, is able to come back, he's got the old U.S. title, MVP has the new U.S. title, and it builds to a match. Maybe it's SummerSlam. Champion against champion, winner take all. Just like the ladder match. I don't think MVP and Apollo Crews are going to have the kind of match Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon had, but same concept. Then Apollo wins. They merge the belts together, and that new U.S. title belongs to him, and then he can go on to defend it against Bobby Lashley. I assume that was the plan anyway. But now they can, if they have to kind of take a detour here because he's sick, then they could always do that. You know, I'll put my U.S. title up against your U.S. title and just do the match at the next pay-per-view. But this whole thing was, I mean, look, if he's sick and he's not there, then there's nothing they could do, but you know, how far in advance did they know that he wasn't going to be able to show up? And is that really the best they could come up with? So that was very lame. Very lame. Russell Mock with the $10 super chat. Thank you, Russell. The Chosen One. The Chosen One with the $5. Did Vince Russo book this crap? I hope not. Jacob Donnelly. Thank you very much. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. 619 has officially been changed to 61I. Did you come up with that by yourself? Because that's not very good. But thank you for the $10. I do appreciate it. Speaking of eyes, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins against Rey Mysterio, eye for an eye, where the only way to win, we were told, was to extract your opponent's eye from his skull. Then and only then would the match be over. This is the big stipulation that they announced that they've been building now for a few weeks. And look, I told you, coming into this pay-per-view, I said it last week after they initially announced that, I said that this is the stupidest stipulation that I have ever heard of. Ever. And then I hear this stuff about CGI, which we ended up not getting. But I heard this stuff about CGI, and they're gonna, you know, CGI effects to show the eye extraction. And I said, this is stupid. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. And having now seen what they did in execution, I could tell you that it lived up to the billing. I would have loved for them to go out there and prove me wrong. It's very hard to have a segment that ends poorly and has people shitting all over it that involves people like Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins, who are very good at what they do. WWE found a way to make that happen. They found a way to make that happen. This was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. You know, they could have at least, like, after they announced it, and they realized, oh shit, what have we done? We've kind of backed ourselves into a corner here. They could have done a situation where, you know, Dominic was there. Rollins is about to win. He's going to put Ray's eye out. Out comes Dominic. Dominic says, don't do it. I'll join you. If you leave my father alone, I'll come with you. And then he recruits Dominic into his little faction, and Ray's eye is spared. Now, you probably would have had people very upset because that's a bait and switch. But it was a stupid stipulation to begin with. Nobody in their right mind believed it, so it doesn't matter. But that at least would have played into the story. It would have made sense. It would have built to another match at SummerSlam. You could have done a tag match or something, and Dominic's like a hostage now. He's being indoctrinated by Seth Rollins. There was a way out. There was a way out of this if they wanted to take it, and they didn't take it. They didn't take it. Because I would have been okay with that. Rollins walked out with a pair of pliers. I could already see where this was going. And with no pinfalls, you know, when you do a match like this, there's no dramatic pinfalls. At least when you have pinfalls available to you, you can kind of build drama around the near falls and stuff. I mean, people have to care in the first place. I don't know how many people really cared coming into this match. So you've now taken that away, and so the whole match was built around eye spots. Like, I'm going to put your eye out. I'm going to pluck your eye out. I'm going to put this stick in your eye and all this other. I'm going to, you know, all these different things that got a little hokey and ridiculous after a while. Mysterio grabbed the pliers. He went to gouge out Rollins' eye first. I can't even believe I'm talking about this. It's just so stupid. I found myself multiple times watching this pay-per-view saying that out loud. I'm just sitting here going, this is stupid. Like, this is stupid. That's stupid. They have, like, maybe the most talented roster that they've had in the history of this company. And yet I'm watching these shows week after week going, this is stupid. This is stupid. That's stupid. The problem isn't the talent. The problem aren't the puppets. The problem is the puppet master. So Mysterio tried to give Rollins a head scissors off the apron. Rollins reversed it into a falcon arrow on the apron. That looked pretty cool. Then he tried to pull out Mysterio's eye. That was not very cool. Rollins tried to jam the leg of a chair, you know, one of the chairs at ringside, into Ray's eye. Tried sticking a pen in his eye. That didn't work. Yeah, this match is every parent's worst nightmare. If you have a kid watching this show, this whole storyline, this whole match has to be your absolute worst nightmare, because now all you're going to have is little Timmy. Little Timmy is going to go around trying to take out little Tammy's eye with a pencil. I'm glad I don't have any kids that I know of, because I think that would be an absolute nightmare. Rollins charged Mysterio, but he went eye first into the corner of the announce desk. Mysterio hit a seated senton. Tilt-a-whirl head scissors, frog splash. Of course, no near fall because there's no pinfalls. Mysterio broke the... there was a kendo stick that had been introduced earlier into the match. And he used the kendo stick. He jammed a piece of it into Rollins' left eye. So he's just digging in there. He's digging it into Rollins' eye. And Rollins is screaming and he's shouting and all of this stuff. Mysterio hits the 619. Rollins recovers from that. He tries to jam Ray's eye up against the ring steps. So this is what he did to Ray many weeks ago, right? He put his eye into the corner of the steps. He tried to do that again. Ray put Rollins' eye into the corner of the steps, or at least he tried to, and Rollins was desperate. He lifted his leg, and from behind, he gave Ray a low blow. Down goes Ray. Curb stomp on the floor. So he grabs Ray, and I hope I remember this in the right order, because taking notes for some of these matches was just, I mean, this was quite the challenge, I have to tell you, especially in between all the times I was shouting out loud, this is stupid. But he takes Ray's head, and he takes it, and he does exactly what he did to Ray all those many weeks ago. He takes Ray's head. He jams it into the corner, and he's pushing it into the corner of the steps, and Ray starts screaming. He starts screaming, and Rollins is looking at him, and he quickly backs away. Like he saw a ghost, and he backs away, and we got a very quick camera shot. It was very brief, but we got a very quick camera shot of Rey Mysterio's eyeball supposedly hanging out of his eye socket. So do you want to know the great special effects the WWE used for this big scene here in this match? Now, I must tell you, if there are women in the room, if you have children, you might want to put the children to bed because they've never seen something so horrific. Well, I mean, if they watched this pay-per-view, they did the whole thing, but they've never seen something this horrific. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the very quick shot of what we saw. What happened to poor Rey Mysterio on the show? There it is. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to what you see there under Rey's right hand. That right there, oh my God, is Rey Mysterio's eyeball. Look at that shit. Why do I watch wrestling? Why do I still watch this company? What has wrestling become? Am I getting too old for this shit? I mean, am I in the minority here, or do you people feel the same way that I feel? The best thing I can say about this, at least they went with practical effects over CGI. I was just talking about this the other day on the podcast. I can't even look at this. Like, I look at all the comments, and I can't even look at this with a straight face. I mean, look at this. Look at this. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the judge. It was the judge, right? From Who Framed Roger Rabbit with the big bulging eyeballs that came out of his skull. Look at this shit. What is that, a gumball? What is this? So the referee is shouting. He's like, it's out, it's out. I don't know if he was talking about the eye. I didn't know if he was talking about something else. I'm like, put it back in your pants. He's like, no, it's out, it's out. And the bell rings. Rollins, and I will not show you a picture of this. I actually thought this was more disgusting than the eyeball. Rollins starts puking. And I thought to myself, you know, when I talked about the bar fight, when I talked about the bar fight that we did not get here on this pay-per-view, originally there was going to be a bar fight on this show. It was going to be Jeff Hardy against Sheamus. Thank God we got spared from that. I'm surprised I didn't hit the bar watching this show tonight. But I said, when that match happens, I think it's going to happen on SmackDown this Friday. Jeff Hardy's going to win. And he's going to stuff alcohol or liquor or whatever. He's going to stuff it down Sheamus' throat. And Sheamus is going to start barfing. He's going to start vomiting all over the place because Vince McMahon loves his toilet humor. Vince McMahon, I could hear him laughing already. And then they went and they spoiled it. We got the vomiting on this show. They couldn't even wait until Friday night. Vince McMahon had to get his vomiting in here on this pay-per-view. Rollins is puking all over the place. This was exactly as stupid as I said it would be, which is too bad because this could have been a really good match. This could have been a really good match, but that's not what anybody is going to remember. All they're going to remember is that dumb finish. I don't really have anything else to say about it. I mean, what else is there to say? This was dumb. This was stupid. And you know what? If Rey Mysterio's son didn't work for this company, he'd be out of there so fast. You know, like the Roadrunner cartoon, the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, and the Roadrunner goes, pew, and you see like that little plume of smoke behind him. That'd be Rey Mysterio running over to AEW. With that plume of smoke behind him, were it not for Dominic. Dominic is what might keep him in the company. I don't think he had this in mind when he had signed to come back to the company, what was it, last year, whenever it was that he came back. I don't think this is what he had in mind. Oh, my goodness. Andrew Lolivar, calling it now, Dominic donates his eye to his dad. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Angelo Carter with the $5. I really hate how great Sasha Banks versus Asuka was. And then the finish was very WCW in 2000. Brian Becerra, thank you for the support. Crash with the $2. WA2K99, I think that's Adam. Thank you for the $5. And Garris Vicarian, not even Gong Show would be fitting for this show. Actually, that Minoru Suzuki super chat there, I will murder. That's how I felt when that match was over. All right, you know what? Let's talk about something I actually enjoyed, at least up until the last few minutes. Sasha Banks against Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. I thought that these two, not only did I think these two had a very good match, I would say, looking back at it, that these two probably had. See, the thing is, the finish brings it down in my book, but you know, up to that point, I thought they had the best match on the entire show. I mean, now that's not saying much because there was no one match on this show that stood out as being amazing. But I thought of the matches that we got on this pay-per-view, Sasha and Asuka, up until those last 2 or 3 minutes, was the best thing on the entire show. So I enjoyed this match a lot. It got very convoluted at the end, more than, frankly, it needed to be. Sasha was working over Asuka's arm. She was trying to take away her finishing move, the Asuka lock. So that was the psychology they were working here in this match. Sasha went for a German suplex off the apron, didn't get it. Asuka held on. Asuka went for a German suplex. Sasha was able to avoid that. And then Sasha gave Asuka a powerbomb into the barricade in the plexiglass. Sasha hit a frog splash for a near fall. Right into the bank statement. Asuka makes it to the ropes, breaks the hold. Sasha tries for a moonsault off the top, but Asuka gets up there. She cuts her off. And Asuka gives her, now, as they were setting up for this, I was like, please. Because we've seen Sasha Banks take some pretty wicked bumps before. I feel like she's very fragile. She's not that big. And she was up at a very great height on that top rope. And I just kept thinking to myself, please let this go okay. Because this could go so badly. This could go so many different ways. So she gives her a German suplex off the top rope. Thankfully, Sasha landed on her feet, kind of. She went for a move then off the rope. So Sasha lands on her feet. She goes to hit the corner, and she goes for some kind of a move. I don't know what she was going for, and she slips. And she slips, and she falls, and she's favoring her knee. Now, to me, it looked like a botch that she covered very well for, because when she came off the top rope in the move prior, she landed on her knee. So now she's selling her knee like, oh, maybe her knee was hurt. Like, I thought that was very smart. Maybe it was intended. I don't think it was. I think she just fucked up. But she tried her best to cover for it. Bayley was out there, and so was Kairi Sane. Bayley tried to interfere. Kairi went over. They're brawling. They're battling it out. And Bayley gives Kairi the belly to Bayley on the floor. So now Kairi is out of the picture. Asuka and Sasha, they're trading pinfalls back and forth. Asuka goes for the Asuka lock. And so she gets Sasha in the Asuka lock. Bayley is distracting the referee. She's trying to interfere. She's trying to help her friend. Now, what I had pitched and what I thought that they were going to do, and I still like this idea, they didn't go with it, but Bayley wins, right? Sasha helped her, exactly as I thought it would go down. But then when they get to this match, Sasha is expecting Bayley to be there to help her, right? You're going to pay me back for what I did for you, because I want to be a double champion too. But it backfires. And I thought that's where they were going with this. The way that everything was playing out, I said, this is going exactly the way that I thought it would. It's going to blow up in their face. Asuka's going to retain. And Sasha is going to be pissed. And then on TV this week, the slow journey begins to the eventual match and split between Sasha and Bayley. They didn't do that. So Bayley is trying to interfere here. She's trying to help Sasha out. And she slides the women's tag team belt into the ring. Sasha tried to use it. The referee saw her with it, said, no, you're not going to use it. Asuka spits the green mist at Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks turns around, sees this, ducks, and the mist hits the referee right in the face. And now the referee is misted. His eyes are burning. Maybe they'll send him to the same hospital they sent Rey Mysterio. Maybe they could do an eye transplant for him, too. He's writhing in pain. He's rolling around on the ground. He can't see a thing. Asuka lock. Bayley comes in from behind. There's no referee. She hits Asuka from behind with the belt, knocks Asuka out. Sasha Banks covers her. Bayley pulls the referee shirt off the referee, puts it on her own body, and counts the three. So Bayley, she's a tag team champion. She's a women's champion. Now she's a referee. Counts the fall. She yells at the timekeeper to ring the bell. Eventually, the timekeeper says, okay. He rings the bell. She grabs the belt, gives it to Sasha. So, apparently, we are led to believe that Sasha Banks is now the Raw Women's Champion. Of course, She's probably not the Raw Women's Champion. Byron Saxton's on commentary. He's insisting it was not a title change. Last I checked, Byron Saxton is not a general manager, so I wouldn't take his word for it, but I don't see how this is going to go down as a title change. Poor Sasha, her wig was coming off. It's pretty obvious. I mean, it happens sometimes in, you know, in her matches. I feel like it hasn't happened in a while, but there was a certain point in the match where it looked like her wig got jerked, and then on the outside, she was holding her head. Like, she was just trying to keep it on. It was loose, and she didn't want her hair to fall off. I thought that was kind of amusing. Again, I don't believe that Sasha will be recognized on TV this week as the champion. This did not have to be this convoluted. You know, this did not have to be this convoluted. I'm going to wait and see how it plays out on TV. Maybe in the end, it'll be for the better. Maybe it'll make sense. Maybe it'll end up being an even better idea. I will reserve judgment on that part of it, but as a match, everything was going great, and then they just mucked it all up. They mucked it all up in the end. I did not like this finish. I was not a fan. It was all the confusion and everything else. I was not a fan of that at all. But up to that point, I thought it was, and now looking back, now that the show is over, I thought it was the best thing on the entire show, match-wise. To me, it was the best thing on the show. Now, Charlie Caruso, Chuck, was in the back, and she gave us an update. We needed an update on Rey Mysterio. What's going on? Is he blind? What, you know, is he going to live? What's going on here? And Charlie's in the back, and she says that Rey was taken to a local medical facility, and that, I don't remember, I'm paraphrasing what she said here. She was like Dr. Chuck in the back giving some kind of medical diagnosis here. All I heard was optical nerve. If the optical nerve is not severed, he might be able to keep his eyesight. This is stupid. Stupid. I'll keep saying it. Stupid. This whole angle is stupid. It's dumb. Another one that did not have to be this lame. You could do a pretty compelling storyline. You know, Rey's family is involved. You know, his son is involved. You could have gone a whole bunch of different ways with this. You didn't have to go the cornball route, but now they've turned it into cornball stuff. But hey, you know, at least Vince McMahon got his jollies. He got his rocks off of Seth Rollins vomiting in the back, you know. He might get off on that. It's what turns him on. There's a visual for you. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. Eric Stankoff. Is New York City getting better? It depends what you mean by is getting better. There's a lot of things going on in New York City that are definitely not getting better. It's getting kind of scary. Daniel Tucker earlier dropped the $40. I want to say thank you to him. Says, I think I need a break from anything pro wrestling after that abortion of a cinematic match. Scott Woodford said that he fell asleep during the show. Lord Frieza, shout out to Damien, who made a cameo in the swamp fight. He is what, 50 or 60? Well, Damien was offed many years ago. Earthquake turned him into Quake Burgers. So may he rest in peace. That was not Damien. M. Bison, able to make it to the stream live tonight. And Watermelon Oranges with the $2 Super Chat. And Stephen Fowler, wow, with the $50. Thank you. Thank you. That'll pay for a lot of phone calls. Because I could already see I've just been rebuilt. The account has already been rebuilt. So thank you. That will take care of about 75% of that bill, too. So I thank you for that. We have Drew McIntyre. We're getting near the end here, which means we're getting to the contest. So we got a lot left to go here. But we had the WWE Championship was on the line. We had Dolph Ziggler challenging Drew McIntyre in a match where Dolph was going to choose the stipulation, but he was not going to announce it until the pay-per-view. So coming into the show, we had no idea what match Dolph Ziggler was going to choose. There were a lot of different ideas about what he was going to do, and you know, my idea was ban the Claymore. They've really put that move over strong. We keep hearing about Claymore country. He's kicking people in the face. It's the move he used to beat Brock Lesnar. That could have been the story. I'm taking away your primary weapon here, the move you used to win the championship at WrestleMania. You are not allowed to use it. And if you do, you're going to lose your title. I thought that was going to be the stipulation. It's the same thing he did with Vicky Guerrero. They did it to Edge years ago, right? When Dolph challenged him for the World Heavyweight title at the Royal Rumble. But he didn't pick that stipulation. And nor was it a TLC match. So I don't know if that was changed. I don't know if that Facebook ad that supposedly leaked was just bullshit. But it wasn't a TLC match either. Instead, Dolph Ziggler chose an Extreme Rules match. Well, what do you know? It's the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I hadn't even thought about that, that we didn't have an Extreme Rules match. That should have been obvious. I didn't even realize coming into the show, it's Extreme Rules. We have no Extreme Rules match that had been signed. So he said it would be an Extreme Rules match, but for himself only. Drew McIntyre would have to play by the rules. If he cheated, if he used the weapon, he would lose the title. And I thought to myself, you know, that was actually pretty clever. I actually thought as far as stipulations go, that was pretty smart. That was a pretty smart little twist there. But at the end of the day, here's the problem. It's Dolph Ziggler. It's Dolph Ziggler challenging for the WWE Championship on pay-per-view. We know Dolph Ziggler is talented. No one is denying that he doesn't have talent. But it's Dolph Ziggler. Why is Dolph Ziggler challenging for the World Championship in 2020? This company has done everything in their power to make it very clear that he is not to be seen at that level. There isn't a single person, I don't think, who came into this pay-per-view even remotely believing that there would be a title change on this show. There should at least be some doubt. There was never any doubt. So yes, he stacked the deck against Drew, and you know, Drew was the underdog here coming into the match because of the stipulation, but nobody in their right mind believed that Dolph Ziggler was going to walk away as the WWE champion. That would have been the dumbest decision that they can make. Even if the ratings don't bear it out, I like Drew McIntyre as the WWE champion. And I feel bad for him that his title reign is coming at the worst possible time and that he can't really truly show what he's capable of in front of a live audience, you know, with normal conditions and normal circumstances. I don't think he's the problem. He's part of a larger problem, I guess. You can point to a more, you know, general problem as far as why people aren't watching as much, but I do think that he fits well in that role, and I hope he, you know, is able to roll on into SummerSlam and maybe even beyond SummerSlam. But it wasn't going to be Dolph Ziggler. Nobody bought into that. Ziggler was setting up a table at ringside, and McIntyre teased giving him a suplex through the table. He did not. And he gave him a sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. Ziggler used a low blow, which he is allowed to do. Drew was kicking his ass. So, low blow, perfectly within the rules. Drew goes down, and he hits him with a few chair shots, hit him in the shoulder with a chair. So, McIntyre's outside the ring. Ziggler is on the apron. He jumps off the apron, and he jumps onto McIntyre. McIntyre catches him, and Drew proceeds to give him a belly-to-belly, barely. He almost didn't even make it. He almost didn't even clear the announce table, but he suplexed him over the announce desk. And Dolph came back. He leapt off the announce desk, got a little bit of height on it, and gave Drew a famouser on the floor. So McIntyre went for the Claymore. Ziggler used a chair, hit him in the knee. Ziggler gave him a gigantic leaping elbow. This was the highlight of the match. Drew's outside on a table. Dolph goes to the top rope. Just went up and came straight down. Not a very good landing. He came down very vertical. But he nailed the elbow and crashed through the table. Almost won the match by countout. They were teasing a count out here. Drew made it back in the ring just in the nick of time. McIntyre fired back with the Glasgow Kiss. Ziggler fought back with the Famouser. He hit a zigzag. He hit a rock bottom on a steel chair. Nothing he could do would put Drew McIntyre down. He's freaking out. He's all frustrated. He's talking about, you know, why won't you just die? That's what he kept saying. Why won't you just die? It's not very PG. So Ziggler was setting up for the super kick, right? Big finish. Drew kips up, hits the Claymore, 1-2-3. And Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship. just like that, just the way it should have been. Now, you see, if Dolph had gone with my idea, that wouldn't have happened. If Dolph had gone with my idea, he may well be WWE champion right now. See? I thought the match was okay. You know, again, I couldn't get into it. What was there to get into? There were a few high spots in the match, but I saw Drew McIntyre have a better match with Bobby Lashley. There was really nothing special about this match, and now Dolph can go bye-bye. I was going to say go bye-bye back to SmackDown, but I guess he's on Raw now, right? He and Bobby Roode, who we still haven't seen back on TV, I guess he's trapped in Canada. They were traded to Raw for AJ Styles, who was wanted to get as far away from Paul Heyman as he could get, and then Paul Heyman got fired, so haha. I guess it doesn't really matter. But anyway, so he can go back to the same position that he's been in now for all these years, and they'll dust him off again. At some point next year, Dolph Ziggler will be back in main events when they have too many injuries or, you know, people are test positive and they lose, you know, certain members of the roster. There's Dolph. Dolph Ziggler is like a reliable pair of socks, right? You go out, maybe you even go to Target or Walmart. You don't have to buy fancy shit. You can go to Macy's. You can order them online, order them on Amazon or something. I get holes in my socks all the time, right? You buy new socks. But you got that one pair of socks. They fit you comfortably. They're still in good shape. They're always there. You get holes in your socks, you put that old pair back on. That's Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is like an old pair of socks. And he's a loser because the deck was stacked against Drew McIntyre and he still couldn't win. So if this reinforced nothing else, it reinforced the fact that Dolph Ziggler is, in fact, a loser. Spanish Goddess, thank you for the $2. Thank you for the $3, actually. He dropped another super chat as well. Born Sinner, Slammiversary was booked better than Extreme Rules. Yeah, let me know in the chat what you guys thought about that. For those of you who actually saw it. I don't know how many of you watched the Impact pay-per-view, but if you did, did you enjoy Slammiversary more, or did you enjoy Extreme Rules? I have a feeling I know what the answer is going to be. Slammiversary, at least, was more of a wrestling show. There were no eyeballs being gouged out. There was some good wrestling, some quality wrestling on that show. I'd probably vote for Slammiversary, too. And I didn't like everything on that show, but I would probably vote Slammiversary over Extreme Rules, hands down. Aunt McCall. From Tony Baloney, he says, just wanted to say what's up. Stray Bullet with the $5. Seth and Ray have awesome chemistry. Hope they have more matches down the road. Seth finishes pay-per-views as a tweener. Holy shit, there's Paul Hamilton. The Portland pop star with the $100 super chat. Man, if I had like an air horn, I'd blow it right now. But I don't have one, so you'll have to settle for a thank you. Thank you, Paul. Paul is a huge supporter of the show every single week. You're awesome, man. I don't know what else to say. Paul's the man. Paul is the man. And so is Jared. Jared with the $20. Thank you, Jared. All right, now, it was then time for the Swamp Fight. This was the main event. I didn't think they were going to hold this as the main event. You know, cinematic match. I know the Boneyard match, I guess, went on last at WrestleMania on night one, but I don't know, cinematic, non-title, no championship on the line. You had a WWE title match. And there, by the way, there yet again is what they think of Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler had an actual wrestling match. He had an actual wrestling match with Drew McIntyre. The WWE championship was on the line, and he still couldn't headline the show. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. That right there tells you everything you need to know about what this company ultimately, at the end of the day, really thinks about Dolph Ziggler. I'm just saying that that match did not headline the show. Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. Again, Universal title, not on the line. I'm going to do my best in a very succinct way to just recap what the fuck I saw here because it was, you know, a cinematic Bray Wyatt match. So there's a lot of, you know, dream sequences, and there's a lot of just weird shit going on here. They're at the Swamp. This was supposedly taped on Thursday night. They had a stunt coordinator they brought in for it. They went all the way with the theatrics here for this match. They're at the Swamp. Bray is sitting on the dirt road waiting for Braun to show up. He's in the rocking chair. He's rocking back and forth. And Braun arrives in his truck. He gets out of the truck. He walks up to Bray in the rocking chair. And he says to Bray, "I'm home." All of a sudden, the lights go out. And the lights come back on, and the chair is rocking, but Bray is not there. And I just thought to myself, how do the lights go out when you're outside? How did the lights go out? Especially, he's got the headlights on his truck. So that was strange. So Braun's looking for him. And then Braun, as he's looking around, he's trying to find Bray. He winds up on the ground. So he's on the ground, and he looks up, and what does he see? He sees himself. He sees himself. It'd be like me laying on the floor looking up and seeing Orange Cassidy with his hands in his pockets. He looks up and he sees himself, the old Braun Strowman in the old gear with the black sheep mask, and he pulls the mask off and it's Braun. And Braun is horrified by real Braun. That's fake Braun. Real Braun is on the ground and he's horrified by this. Fake Braun picks up, I don't know what, a fucking axe or whatever the hell it was. I was like, here, put me out of my misery. I don't know what the hell I'm watching here. And he hits Braun with it, and then Braun blacks out. So when he regains consciousness, we see him. He's in like a shack or like a barn somewhere. And he is chained to the chair. He can't move. He's wrapped in chains, and he can't go anywhere. And then this just dragged on, you know. Bray shows up and he makes the slow walk over to where Braun is. And what happened is this next like 5 minutes, this wasn't a match or a fight, it was a promo. Bray Wyatt comes over, he's cutting a promo on Braun Strowman. And Braun is sitting there and he's chained up and, you know, he's looking and, "I'm going to get you, I'm going to kill you." You know, and Bray is just cutting a promo, and I'm like, I'm looking at my, I don't even have a watch on, but I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, what, let's go here, you know? I mean, this is the main event. This is the main event here on pay-per-view. But there he is, he's cutting a promo on him, and he's basically talking about, you know, what I must do to Braun. I have to kill the monster. I've got to slay the monster. So suddenly a man, in a cloak, we never saw the person's face. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. This person in a cloak shows up, and he's got a giant snake. He's got a giant python who Bray, you know, refers to it as the serpent. He's like, "You remember the serpent?" And the guy's getting the snake real close to Braun, and Braun is freaking out. And then he puts the snake on him, and I guess the snake bites him, and Braun screams. I scream for a different reason. So then, blackout. He wakes up, and now Braun is in the middle of the woods. There's a fire. Somebody lit like a campfire. And he's alone in the darkness in the middle of the woods, and he stands up, and now we have all of these people, and I'm thinking to myself, this better not be fucking ninjas. Again with this company and ninjas. What is this company's obsession with ninjas? That's basically what these people were. One of them didn't have a mask on, but the other ones, I think, did. More ninjas! What, is there a quota every month? You got to have X number of ninjas on your television show? I'm surprised we didn't have turtles pop out and a giant rat. Anyway, the ninjas and these people pop out, and Braun is knocking them down like bowling pins. He's you know, beating up this guy, beating up that guy. So then he takes this one guy and he beats him down, and the guy falls on the ground and he rolls into the fire. And the guy stands up. Maybe this was the stunt coordinator. And he stands up, and his back is on fire. The man is on fire. It's like, you know, swamp ninjas. Yes, thank you, Lord Frieza, in the chat. Swamp ninjas. We got fucking swamp ninjas on this show. So this guy stands up, and he's on fire. Remember when Kane set that guy on fire many years ago, back in 97? When Kane was cool, just pointed at the guy, and a lightning bolt hit, and the guy was on fire, and he's running around. Ah! He's running around on fire. Well, that's what happened here. The guy's on fire, he's running around, and Braun is laughing at the guy. I'm like, what an asshole. Didn't even try to put him out. So the swamp ninja's on fire, and he goes running off. I don't know where he went. And so now we move on to the next part of the match. Alexa Bliss. We hear a familiar voice, and it's Alexa Bliss. And Braun looks over and he sees off in the distance is this woman with like this veil, and she lifts the veil and it's Alexa Bliss. And they show highlights because remember, you know, Braun and Alexa were partners in the mixed match challenge thing that they did a couple years ago. They were a team Little Big, I think was their name. And they're very friendly with each other. Beauty and the Beast, I guess. And so he's looking and she's saying, Braun, you know, Braun, come home, Braun. I know you've always wanted me and you've always wanted to be together. Come. And I'm thinking to myself, she's supposed to be Sister Abigail. Maybe he's conflating Sister Abigail with Alexa Bliss. Or, plain and simple, is it just that he's always had a thing for Alexa Bliss and this is his deepest, darkest fantasies coming to life? He would never admit it. But he's had a thing for Alexa. He's wanted to get with Alexa. So basically, Braun Strowman here was like everybody else. He wants Alexa Bliss. Get in line, buddy, because you ain't the only one. But he starts walking towards her. He's walking towards Alexa. And I'm just thinking to myself at this point, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. I really don't. I'm sure that we'll get people coming out of the woodwork because I haven't even had enough time to process everything in this match. If you gave me some time to go back and rewatch it when I don't have to worry about like taking notes and stuff, maybe I'd pick up on little things I didn't pick up on. Because the one thing I will say, you know, when Bray had the match with Cena at WrestleMania, I had to go back and watch that thing another like 2-3 times. And I picked up on things I didn't pick up on the first time. And he's usually pretty good about inserting little callbacks and things in those types of matches, if you could even call it a match, that call back to his history in some way, or okay, that makes sense. Oh, I didn't see that the first time. So I don't want to sit here, far be it from me to tell all of you to go back and watch it again. But you might want to go back and watch it again. I might actually go back and watch it again just to see if there's anything I missed, because I'm sure there is. But as you're watching it, you're just thinking, I don't know what the fuck I'm watching here. I just can't believe this is the main event. He goes walking towards Alexa. Braun, or Bray, reemerges, and he attacks Braun. Braun attacks him. He lays out Bray. Bray now is laid out in a boat. A dilapidated boat in the swamp. And the boat, or I think he pushed the boat, and the boat goes off into the swamp. Right? You think, oh, that's the end, I guess, right? That's the end. Well, the boat eventually begins to come back on its own. It was going that way. Now it's coming back this way. And Braun doesn't understand what's going on here, and the boat comes back, and he looks in the boat, and there's no Bray. The boat is empty. There is no Bray Wyatt in the boat. So he gets in the water. He's looking around, and Bray pops up out of the water. He attacks him from behind. He hits him in the head with a whore, or not a whore, Jesus. Hits him. Yeah, he hits him in the head with a whore. He hits him in the head with an oar. Oh, boy. So he hits him in the head with an oar, and he's trying to drown this guy. He's trying to drown him in the swamp, holding his head underwater. Eventually, Braun comes back up above water, and he puts Bray under the water, and he's trying to drown Bray, and then Bray's under there, and I guess we're supposed to think that he's drowned or he's dead or whatever. And there's quiet for a little while, and Braun, I guess, thinks that it's over. I've done it. I've killed Bray Wyatt. But then out from the water comes Bray, and he puts the mandible claw on Braun Strowman, and he drags him into the swamp, which is kind of like what I had pitched. I mean, my idea was a little bit different. My idea was to have Braun win, and then at the very end, the Fiend comes out of the swamp, and the Fiend is the one who drags Braun down into the swamp. And that's how you end the match. And that then builds to the Fiend getting a title match at SummerSlam. The idea being, Funhouse Bray lost. He couldn't get the job done. Bray Classic couldn't get the job done. He's got to lose too. That's when the Fiend reemerges. They didn't exactly do that here. They did that a little bit, kind of, but not exactly the way that I had pitched it. But anyway, he gets dragged into the swamp. And then it's very quiet. We don't hear anything, but the water turns red. The water turns blood red. And then out from the water is The Fiend, or at least Bray Wyatt. It looked like Bray Wyatt, but wearing the Fiend mask. And we hear the laughing in the background. I mean, that's a terrible Fiend laugh, but you know the whole laughing thing. And that's how it ends. That's how the match ends. That's how the pay-per-view ends. And I'm just thinking to myself, I think back on this pay-per-view and I'm like, man, that sucked. That's the feeling I was left with here. This was a pay-per-view that was filled with a lot of bullshit. And in between all that bullshit, there was some pretty good wrestling, but not enough for me to really give the show a thumbs up. I didn't look at the show and go, man, what a great Extreme Rules that was. Boy, you know, think about some of the past Extreme Rules pay-per-views that we've gotten. And then you watch this one and you think to yourself, what happened to Extreme Rules? I mean, aside from the dumb stuff with the eyeball, which never should have happened, it's like, what was so extreme about this show? There were a lot of parts of this show that were extremely dumb. So if that was the theme this year, then great. They knocked it out of the park. Extreme Rules was extremely dumb. That's what this pay-per-view was. I'm very curious what the Twitter results say. Very curious if people are in agreement with me on this. John Falchetta, eyeball on a pole. Yeah, that would have been something. Harold Warren, thank you for the $10. Stray Bullet again. Tenorio 128. Is this pay-per-view up there with Backlash 2018, Battleground 2017? Now you're just rattling off all these horrible pay-per-views. No, it was not as bad as King of the Ring 95. The HR, thank you for the $5. Imagine seeing a kid pull another kid's eye out thanks to a stupid WWE match stipulation. So much for the curb stomp. R. Luna Jr., 69, thank you. Moshmaster D., how is it that when Asuka spits in Sasha's eyes and not arrested for attempted murder in these COVID times? Yeah, that probably wasn't the smartest move. And LQBAL, thank you. He's been a fan for 6 years. I appreciate that. So let's see. Let's see what you guys think, because I know people are waiting on the contest, but I just want to show this real quick. This is where things stand. Ouch. Ouch! What did you guys think of Extreme Rules 2020? 27% thumbs up. 72.7% thumbs down. That is a terrible total. That is awful. That is positively awful. Not undeserved, though. I'd say that sounds about right. So go ahead and vote if you haven't already done so. At Solomonster is the place to go. So now we have arrived here. I know a lot of people have been waiting on this. Again, for those of you who are just coming in, I am hosting a random drawing here right now. This is courtesy of WrestleRumble.com. I am, I guess, sort of the master of ceremonies here. This is going to be a totally random drawing. So the way this is going to work is I'm picking three winners. We're going to start with third place, then we're going to do second place, and then we're going to do first place. Third place winner gets the Smoking Skull replica. So that goes to the third place winner. I am going to paste the list of 4,700 names. My God, that is a new record. We got 4,700 names in the contest here this month, which is awesome. So let me paste all these names in here. There we go. So you guys can see, I'm not lying. It's a lot of names. I can't even scroll through them all, but they're all there. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to hit that randomize button that you see on the bottom of your screen. And what we'll do is, since I'm picking the third place winner first, in the numbered list, if your name is in the number three spot, if your name is in the number three spot, you are the third place winner. You win the Smoking Skull belt. And that's how we're going to do this. So, without any further ado, let's pick the third place winner. Here we go. Here we go. Boy, this is exciting, huh? All right, here we go. Third place winner is Frederick Morgan. Frederick Morgan, you are the third place winner. And you win the Smoking Skull Replica Championship belt. Again, these belts are going to be shipped out from Wrestle Rumble, not from me, tomorrow via FedEx. So They should have your information. I mean, if not, you could probably email it to me, although I think they'll probably already have it. But congratulations to Frederick Morgan. That is very cool. And I just got to reset this now. So I'm going to go back. This will let me go back. Here we go. All right, I got to go back. We're going to do this a second time. Now, this second place winner, so you know, the second prize is the classic WWE. It's really the Hogan 87 belt is really what it is. It's the Hogan 87 belt and the Winged Eagle, which is my all-time favorite championship. So congrats to the winner in advance, and good luck. Good luck to everybody. Okay, I'm going to pick whoever is in the number two spot. So if your name is number two on this list, when I randomize it, you are the winner. And that is how we are going to work this. The second place winner is Henry Jackson. Henry Jackson, you have won the classic WWF title and the Winged Eagle. I love that Winged Eagle title. Oh, do I love that Winged Eagle title. That's what I have on the wall hanging behind me. That was a gift. That was a gift from one of my listeners. One of the best gifts I ever got. So let's go back here. I'm trying to get to the list that won't let me. There we go. And so it all boils down to this. This is going to be the first place grand prize winner. This person is going to win not one, not two, but three championship belts, and you are going to win the classic WCW United States title, the classic WWE United States title, and the IWGP United States Championship. Three belts going to one person, and it's going to be whoever is in the number one spot. So that first name you see on this list is going to be the grand prize winner. And so without any further ado, a drum roll, please. I actually came with a drum roll this month. The first place grand prize winner is Jesse Rodriguez. Jesse Rodriguez, you are the grand prize winner. Congratulations. Congratulations to Jesse. You win all three United States Championship belts. I love it. I love it when we can give title belts away. That's a lot of fun. I want to thank Wrestle Rumble again for letting me promote this month's contest. And I want to just flash that one more time because that is going to be the contest for next month. We're going to give away the Winged Eagle, the IC, two classic WWF tag belts, and a mystery championship. I believe that's all going to one lucky winner. And again, it's only a buck to enter. So what that mystery belt is going to be, I can't say. I know what it is, but I can't say. I am sworn to secrecy. So I'm not going to be saying exactly what it is. Of course, I also just realized I don't think I had the phone number up on the screen. So now it is. So if you do want to call in, we'll take some calls. There's the number right there. But again, thank you to Wrestle Rumble for letting me host, as we've been doing every month. It's a lot of fun. And again, congratulations to Jesse and all of the winners. The Wrestling Fun Place with the Super Chat says, my three-year-old was putting his eye out on the couch cushion. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you're going to have some problems. Some parents are going to have some problems with their kids coming out of that match. Brian Blair. Is it the Brian Blair? $20 drop. We are extreme fools for thinking this was going to be a good show. Dry Chicken Without Flavor says, an eye for an eye. I can see Naito doing his eye pose. Rodimus Prime, Wyatt Swamp Match equals complete garbage. And Donnie Film says, Dominic on a pole match. Oh, give them time. Give them time. Dominic was already on a pole once before. Remember, there is still time to put Eddie Sun back on a pole. That might be coming up at SummerSlam. Isn't it going to be the anniversary? Isn't this the 15-year anniversary of Dominic on a Pole Part 1? I think it is. We might be getting Dominic on a Pole Part 2 here for the 15-year anniversary. I didn't realize it was 15 years since that friggin' match. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, you guys are going to, I'm sure, have a lot of opinions on this show tonight. So let's not waste any more of people's time here. 615, what did you think of the horror show?
Saul Monster, this is John from Tennessee. How are you, my friend?
I've been doing better, John. I've unfortunately, I've seen better shows than this one tonight, but I'm doing okay.
I'm with you. It was – that's what I think pissed me off about this show so much is, like you said earlier, was the wrestling was great. A lot of really good wrestling on the show. And going back to the cinematic match kind of was what it was. I didn't think it was, I guess, awful, but it was just kind of like, I'm just kind of used to this crap now. It kind of is what it is. But the Asuka, Sasha, I mean, why does WWE have to keep effing matches that get you invested and then just have these stupid finishes? Like, it's just, that's why people are going, not watching for many, but this is the main reason they're not watching, is because of this crap. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, I'm sick and tired of it. Goofy finishes that they keep thinking of and think it's good.
Yeah, it's terrible because they, again, I said this earlier, they have probably like the most talented roster, like top to bottom of talent that they've had under contract at any one moment in their history. And they deserve better than what we're seeing on some of these shows. You know, they're whether it's TV, pay-per-view, whatever. I mean, we've seen some really goofy shit over these last few months, and it's not their fault. It's whoever's putting them in these positions in the first place. But this was maybe the peak of the goofiness, what we saw on this show here tonight.
Yeah, and that's my problem is, like, I really have enjoyed Bayley, you know, her heel character. I've been starting to enjoy what she's doing. I mean, I think they've been building the Sasha storyline up really good. And that's what's, like, I think annoying is, like, you want to see it go to a good place, and it still can, but these dumb finishes, and they keep making excuses for why they do it. And it's like, I mean, you can keep making the excuse you want, but it's just dumb. But the question I was going to ask you, I guess, was where do they go from this Seth Rey stupidity? Like, where do they go? Like, where can they go?
Look, I guess it all, I'm going to let you go here, but I think it really all depends on what Ray's status is with the company. Did they do the finish they did tonight because he's gone? If he's gone, he's gone. I'm assuming he's not gone yet, and they're going to come back and say, miraculously, Ray's eye is going to be okay, and he'll wear an eye patch for a while under his mask, and they can do a tag match. I know he wants to team with his son. This has to be building to a tag team match, I would think. It's going to be Dominic and Ray against probably Rollins and Murphy, since Austin Theory is, you know, he's put him on the side of a fucking milk carton. So I think that's where we're going. Maybe it's SummerSlam. Or Ray versus Rollins Part 2, Dominic on a pole. I'm telling you, we might actually get that. I would not put it past them on the anniversary here to want to go back to that well and do that match again. 443.
Hey, Jesus, Kyle. How you doing?
Hey, Kyle.
I enjoyed the Sasha Asuka match. That was the best match of the entire show. And I know it doesn't make any sense. And I actually didn't. That ending was so unnecessary. I think Sasha could have won. Bayley could have interfered. Sasha would have won while the referee or Asuka was distracted, and then they would have done a. That she would have done the pin or did the bank statement, and that's how she would have won. It would have been the same way, but differently, the way she won. But I do like it though personally, because I actually picked Sasha to win. I wanted Sasha to win the championship. So and one side, kind of glad she won the title, but another one, the way she won it was kind of weird. It was a weird ending.
I don't think she won it though. Again, I don't. Happen, but. Yeah, I don't think she won it. I mean, obviously they'll do some kind of big controversial thing on TV. How do we resolve this controversy? Who's the champion? Maybe they'll say that the title is held up and nobody is the champion. My guess is that Asuka is still the champion, and there'll be a rematch. And maybe what I talked about them doing tonight, maybe that'll happen in the rematch. Maybe they just wanted to drag things out a little bit more. I just think it was such a good match between the two of them. And I expected that coming in, because I've seen them work together before, and they're very good. And for it to end like that, with just the constant bullshit interference and then the confusing ending, did not do them any favors. It was a really good match up until that point. And then it just got all convoluted for no good reason. There was no reason for it to be that convoluted there at the end.
Yeah. So what do you think will happen probably at SummerSlam? Do you think a triple threat match or the Women's Championship will be Asuka, Sasha, and Shayna? I don't know if they can do that. I think that's the only thing I could think of. That would be kind of weird, though. But
no, yeah, no. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. No, I think... you know, SummerSlam is the next pay-per-view. How many weeks away is that? August 23rd. It's a month away. Part of me thinks that we're not at that point yet where we're ready to do, because, you know, when the split happens with Sasha and Bayley, it's just so weird. Like, there's so many different ways, I guess, that you could do it. You can have friction lead to a match, but that first match is only the beginning. So it's like two heels, you know, facing each other. They're friends that have had some issues recently, so they're going to have a match. And then maybe Bayley beats Sasha. But then from there, the story continues to build. You could do that. I don't know if there's enough time to really do the big switch and tell the story of Sasha, you know, splitting with Bayley or Bayley turning on her. If Sasha, I don't know what their idea is here. I got a million ideas in my head. I just don't know what direction they're going to go in here. I don't think it's a triple threat. I mean, I think you want to get to Sasha versus Bayley. I just don't know if SummerSlam is going to be the right place for it. I don't know. I know it sounds kind of strange to say that I don't know if there's enough time between now and then, because they've been building this. They've been teasing this story now for months and months and months. But now that we're here, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough time for them to do that before SummerSlam. 305.
Hi, Jason. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
This is off topic, but what was your opinion on Slammiversary last night?
Well, I on the podcast that I did earlier, so that's episode 661, is a 2.5-hour show. Early on in the show, I gave my thoughts on Slammiversary. There were parts of it I liked, there were parts of it I didn't like. Ironically, now that I think about this, I thought the best match on that show was the women's title match between Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo. And here on Extreme Rules the very next night, I thought the best match on the show was the women's match. Sasha Banks against Asuka. So, you take the women out of the equation this weekend, these shows aren't nearly as good. I'm just saying, even Bayley and Nikki had a pretty good match. So the women rule the roost this weekend, as far as I'm concerned. But you want the rest of my thoughts, go listen to the podcast. It's all laid out there for you. Right now, we'll keep it to Extreme Rules here tonight. 702.
Hey, Saul Monster. It's Frank from Vegas.
Hey, Frank.
Just want to say I love the recap of Extreme Rules. I had more hopes for the Bray match with Braun. I typically like everything that Bray gets his hands on. You know, he has it's like you noted, you know, even the WrestleMania match against Cena. There's little notes that he throws in there that you don't catch that first time.
Oh, yeah.
The second or third time you watch it, it's very clever. It ties in. It makes you go, oh, okay. It's a little ode to this. It's a little ode to that. And, you know, he always comes across as having like this sort of creative ability, kind of like Mick Foley has. Mick Foley was a great storyteller in wrestling, you know, especially with having so many different layers. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Bray, but I just think that they're mishandling it. It's very weird the way, you know, I know that they said Bruce Prichard is streamlining, you know, all creative now. It's just very weird how they're handling this entire situation with Bray switching back and forth. And it seems like they don't know what direction they really want to go in.
I thought I knew, you know, the direction, and I think it is the direction they're going in here, which is they didn't want to bring the Fiend back so quickly. And so how do you buy some time? Because Bray was also gone for a while. He had another kid. So they had to do the whole Miz and Morrison thing, I guess, while he was away. But I guess they just wanted to wait to get to the Fiend at SummerSlam. I assume SummerSlam is going to be the big payoff with the Fiend and Strowman. So what do? You go to the three faces of Bray. It's like the three faces of Foley stuff. He's got his three alter egos, just like Mick Foley had his three alter egos. And now we're going to get to the chief alter ego. We're going to get to the Fiend, and that's going to be the big payoff.
Yeah, what really ends up bothering me is that I was happy for Strowman going over Goldberg. I know that he was not the original choice. I've always liked Strowman. I thought, since Strowman had his feud with Roman Reigns, obviously, you know, that was one of the highlights of his career. It was probably the best feud of his career. It really allowed him to shine and really allowed his character to grow. But, I mean, it felt like as if, you know, I was happy that he got his moment in the sun, but it just felt very diluted, especially because of this whole situation, WrestleMania not being in front of the crowd. And, you know, obviously Roman was the number one choice, but it just feels like he's been a transitional champion. Like, they just kept The Fiend off the TV just so that people didn't grow tired of him. And the title's going to go right back on him. I just think it's a huge blow to Strowman, because I actually like Strowman. I think Strowman's, you know, the last 2 years, he's done the best work of his career.
Well, I mean, you know, for Strowman, he got the title. He got the title not by accident, but he kind of lucked into it. He would not be the Universal Champion right now if Roman Reigns was still around, I'll tell you that. I'm pretty confident in saying that. So he was in the right place at the right time. He was the backup. He got the belt. I think that this run has been extraordinarily forgettable. And part of that may just be the lack of certain stars that they have access to, with the circumstances being what they are. They did a freaking handicap match with basically a comedy tag team. And that was the big Universal title match at the last pay-per-view. And outside of that, you know, he's been feuding with Funhouse Bray. So this has been so far a very uneventful run. Could he go on to have some memorable matches? He could, I guess. But if you think back, going back to when he won the championship in April, what has really been memorable about this Braun Strowman run? I saw he celebrated on Twitter the other day, 100 days. He's been champion for 100 days. Well, that might be the most forgettable 100 days of any champion that we've ever seen. So what does it really all mean? I have not been impressed by it, but he could always turn things around, I suppose. Anything?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything, any top line thoughts here? Because I want to get to some more callers here.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say thank you for the review. And, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I second that comment about getting too old to be watching this. I mean, I'm with you, right? I'm right there with you, Solomonster. I appreciate the review, though.
Well, thank you. I've been having a lot of those moments lately. It's like these weird moments where I sit here and I watch some of this stuff and I'm like, has it just totally passed me by? Are we at that point where it just, like, this product has just completely passed me by? Or is it just that bad sometimes? Like, is this really the best that they could do? I think it's probably a little bit of both. Actually, let me play Cat. We still got Super Chats coming in, so I appreciate the hell out of all of you for that. And I want to make sure I shout everybody out here. I almost said the wrong word. Plichta, $5. Thank you. Carl Whitaker, he says the storyline is what made Seth Rollins sick. Probably. Eugene Morgan, Crazy Eyes, with the $10. Rollins should have taken the eye. They could have a ladder match with the eyeball in a briefcase, and Ray has to win to get his eye back. Leather Rebel says, boy, that was Tom Savini's finest job. Yeah, I don't think that was Tom Savini. I was kind of hoping if they were going to have some kind of, you know, CGI or like a makeup job or something, they would get Tom Savini. Tom Savini's the one who came up with the Fiend mask. That was not Tom Savini. If it was Tom Savini, it was the wrong Tom Savini. They looked in the phone book and they said, oh, Tom Savini. And it was Tom Savini from you know, Alaska or something, that they got to do this tonight. Not the Tom Savini. JC Zephyr, thank you for the 10. Says, I just got home from a long day of work. Seems I did not miss much. Bro Memento. Well, that was a show, I guess. That was a show, I guess, indeed. Paul Hamilton, again, that 100 spot earlier, man. You are awesome. And Chuck Lentz. Chuck Lunatic Lentz with a $50 drop. Chuck's another one of our longtime fans. He's been listening to me since, God, what year? How long back? Probably, I don't even know, 2010, 2011 maybe? Wavy Davey, thank you. Casanova King, thank you for the $20. Says this was the worst episode of Tales from the Crypt that I have ever seen. Tales from the Crypt, don't even say that in the same sentence with this pay-per-view. I miss Tales from the Crypt. By the way, if you want a good recommendation, Creepshow. Not the movie. The movie is great, but the new TV show that came out last year, it was on that Shudder network. I think it might be on Netflix now, I think. I'm not sure, but definitely, if you're into horror, definitely check that out. I think you'll like it. 786.
Hey, Saw Monster. It's Chris from Orlando.
Hey, Chris.
Well,
I heard that sigh. I heard that sigh. That was the same. That was the same sigh that I had when this pay-per-view was over.
Yep. You and everyone, like, what do we just watch?
Was that? Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. What was there one match at least or moment that you did really like the most from the show?
Well, for the women's match, Sasha Banks match, that I like how the fight was, but except the ending. But I was hoping Sasha would win because I was thinking Bayley and Sasha could end up like the mega power kind until they explode, until they're going to fight off to sometime.
Well, then who would be Elizabeth? Because Elizabeth has to take a bump. Right, and then Sasha has to carry her to the back. If you're gonna copy the Mega Powers, you know, breakup angle, I don't know who plays the role of Elizabeth in this angle.
Who knows?
Well, anyway, any other thoughts on things you really liked or really hated beyond the obvious?
Yeah, good. The Eye for an Eye match, like, I don't think they're going to do CGI because that's too complicated for them, even on their budget. And yeah, good Lord.
Well, I mean, the belief coming in was that, you know, it might be a situation where it would be taped. The match would be taped in advance, and that way they can just sort of edit in, you know, whatever CGI they were going to do. But you know what? It was for the better, because the idea of doing CGI for this, I mean, look, maybe it would have come off as not as corny, but the whole idea was shit. From the moment this match was conceived of, outside of them thinking that this might get people to, you know, subscribe to the network, I guess, or buy the show, and I can't imagine they had that many people who bought the show just to see this, it was a dumb idea. You know, it was a dumb, stupid idea that turned what was a serious angle. Like, even when Seth injured Ray, you know, when I watched that, and he had him, you know, in the corner of the ring steps, and he jammed his eye into the corner, I mean, that's the sort of thing, like, I watch that and I go, oh, man, like, you know, people can relate to that and go, oh, that, you know, you talk about stuff with the eye and everything, and that's pretty intense stuff. And then you go, well, we're going to have a match now where the winner is going to pluck the eyeball out of the loser, and now you've just turned this into some goofball bullshit that nobody can take seriously. That's my biggest problem with it. And tonight, you know, I they didn't prove me wrong. Put it that way, with what they did. They did not prove me wrong. Anything else here before I let you go?
One more thing.
Sure.
Let's just rename the show to Shit Show at Extreme Circumstance. How about that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're going to use this horror tag again in the future, but still don't know why they did this in July. Like the whole Halloween, and they have a Christmas-themed pay-per-view maybe in March. Is that the next thing they're going to do? I don't know. I think that that whole idea was screwed from the word go. Let's go to 401. What'd you think of Extreme Rules?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call. It is Dick Tickles from the wonderful state of Rhode Island.
Dick Tickles. Well, this would not be a complete night until we heard Dick Tickles here on the line. Yeah, me and Dick have conversations on Twitter from time to time.
Well, on occasion.
I did not watch
the pay-per-view tonight because I didn't want to. You know why? Because WWE sucks at the moment. That's why.
Well, it doesn't get any more direct than that. Then I can't ask you questions about the show, though, if you didn't watch the show.
Well, but I can ask you questions.
Well, I'll let you ask me one because I got my lines are all jammed up here. So ask me one good question, and I'll try to answer it for you.
Well, I have one question and one request of you for your upcoming 666 episode of The Sound Off. But for the question, I've been thinking about this pandemic and how it's really affecting the wrestling business. And I'm just wondering, like, I hear you talk on your podcast, and it seems like this is going to go on for a lot longer than we think. Let's say that this pandemic goes through to, you know, this time next year. How does wrestling even survive? The business as a whole?
I think it survives. Well, WWE survives off of its TV money. they just keep doing the same thing that they're doing. As long as they keep producing content, doesn't matter if it's good content or bad content. And look, they're in for a world of pain in September when football comes back. You think these Raw ratings are bad enough? Record lows? You wait until football comes back. But they're just going to keep putting out shows like this. As long as they keep producing content, they keep getting paid. And they're just going to try to, you know, kind of stall out the clock until they're able to get people back into the audiences. And look, there may be some states that let them do it. There may be places where they can have, like New Japan has 30% or however many people in the audience. Even that would be better than nothing, but you gotta find a place that lets you do it first. There's going to be a lot of bad things that happen to other companies that don't have the resources that WWE has. So I want this to be resolved tomorrow, because I don't want to see any other companies go out of business. But WWE and AEW, they're going to be fine, because as long as they keep, you know, pumping out content, then they'll you know, be in it for the long haul.
The rest of the business won't be, though, because...
I mean, it depends. I mean, look, even Ring of Honor, I don't know. I mean, they're owned by a multi-billion dollar company. I would think they're not going to let them go under. But when it comes to stuff like an NWA, or it comes to, you know, some of these other smaller promotions, yeah, I mean, another 6 months of this, I don't see how they can last.
Yeah, that's my concern. So as for my request for Sound Off 666, which will be on Big Dick's Big 3-0 birthday, I would like a return to McMahon's Pastry Palace. But given the times we are in, I'm thinking it would be McMahon's Pandemic Pastry Palace. Oh, the hell!
That was pretty good. Well, I mean, that was a pretty good Vince impersonation. Pastry Palace was one of my all-time favorite intros that me and Noah did for the podcast. I don't remember what episode number it was. Maybe somebody can refresh my memory. I don't know what I'm going to do. I told people, I said episode 666 of the Sound Off falls a day before Vince McMahon's birthday next month. That's just the way it worked out. Maybe I'll have to have some kind of Vince McMahon-themed countdown or something. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't come up with an idea yet, but I'm certainly open to all kinds of ideas. Let's swing on by the state of Ohio. I believe this is Ohio. 513?
Yes, sir. This is Tyler, Cincinnati. What's up, Jason? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's my second time calling in. I took my call a couple of months ago for the Dynamite stream. I had the question about Sting being Darby Allin's manager.
I do remember that.
So thank you for
calling. I do remember that.
Yeah. Yes, I just had a question. I didn't watch the pay-per-view at all. I was kind of busy. Is there any one match I need to go back and watch? Because I was kind of looking forward to the McIntyre and Ziggler match.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I should waste my time since everyone's opinions about the show.
So, I mean, is the question, what match should you go back and watch? Or should you go back and specifically watch that match?
Should I go back and watch the Ziggler and McIntyre match? Was it worth, you know, was it worth anyone's time, or was it kind of like hokey, or what was the
gist
of that?
It wasn't hokey. I mean, look, if you've got 15 minutes to spare, then go ahead and watch it. I mean, it was a good match, but, you know, nothing overly exciting. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to rock your socks off or anything like that. But if you've got 15 minutes to spare, they worked hard. I mean, the outcome was exactly what you would expect the outcome to be. It was not the worst thing on the show. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to go back and watch it, I would not dissuade you from doing so.
Did they partake in the TLC everyone kept on reporting, or was it a different match type?
It was different. It was not a TLC match. Actually, I thought what they did was kind of, I won't spoil it, but I think the stipulation he picked, it was a stipulation that I honestly had not thought of, but made sense. And I thought it was clever what they did.
Okay. Well, I got one more question, and I'll let you go to another caller. Tomorrow night, you know, Randy's going to have the match against Big Show. And I think the next pay-per-view is SummerSlam, correct?
Correct.
Do you think Randy's going to win the championship against McIntyre and then have Randy keep the title until maybe till Rumble or Mania, until Edge comes back, and they have the rubber match for the title? Or do you think they're going to keep the title on McIntyre before maybe Brock comes back?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious the match is going to be Randy and Drew next month. Do they take the title off Drew? There's two schools of thought on this. If it's me, I don't take the title off of Drew McIntyre. But the two schools of thought go something like this. McIntyre wins, and he beats another big name. and he retains the championship. The other school of thought is Randy Orton wins because he's in the middle of this big heel run, right? He's getting a lot of heat. He's kicking Edge in the head. He's kicking Christian in the head. He's probably going to kick Ric Flair in the head. He may kick Big Show in the head. He's the legend killer, right? He's killing all these legends off. And because of the pandemic state that we're in, you put the title on Randy Orton. You give him a run with it for several months, possibly even to next year's WrestleMania. Drew gets the return match, hopefully at a time when there's at least some fans allowed in the building or you know, wherever they may run, so that when he wins the championship back, he can actually get a real reaction, which he was deprived of at WrestleMania this year. I guess I'm not against the idea, but I just wouldn't take the title off him yet, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And the idea that they would do Orton, not even Orton and Drew, they would build to Orton and Edge. What the fuck has Edge done to deserve a championship match? I mean, I'm fine with Edge coming back and having matches with people that he hasn't matched up with before, but why does Edge need to be wrestling for the WWE title? I don't like that idea. But if it was to get the belt off Drew so he can chase it and then win it back and get a nice reaction for it, you know, I guess I could see that. But I don't know that I would do the title change. I might feel differently about it in a few weeks when I see how they're building it up on TV. Maybe I have a change of heart. But putting the, you know, doing Edge and Orton for the championship in the rubber match of their feud, I don't think you need to be doing that. Let's go to 520.
Hey, Jason, it's Stu out of Arizona. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Stu. How are you?
Not so bad. So I was out getting food with my girlfriend, and I came back right as the Eye for an Eye match started. I didn't watch any of the build to Extreme Rules, but when I saw the Eye for an Eye, I was like, at least they used practical effects, but what a dumbass finish that was.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you watched the match with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
What did she think of it?
We both just laughed.
Pretty much.
It was like a gumball that
that's right.
was holding. And then the one to watch for me was going to be Sasha versus Asuka. And then my network literally cut out in the last 2 minutes of the match, so I didn't get to see the finish. And then I was actually following the thread on the Solomaster Sounds Off page on Facebook, and I was just seeing how everybody was shitting all over the finish. And I was like,
yeah,
should I even go back and watch it? Because I thought it was an excellent match.
I wouldn't, because I think you saw the best part. The match was great up until the convoluted finish, those last two or three minutes. So you actually watched the best part of that whole match. I think you saw all you needed to see.
Yeah, so it seems.
Yeah.
And then I saw McIntyre and Ziggler, and I'm not going to lie, I was kind of hoping Ziggler would have beat him, just because I would have thought that would have been a hilarious swerve, that, you know, but then I'm sure the storyline would have been, oh, Ziggler cheated him out of the title. And I mean, it was a surefire win for McIntyre all the way through, but
yeah, no, it had to be. I would have hated that idea. So thankfully they didn't, because to me, that just is a swerve for the sake of a swerve. It serves no purpose. It's just,
right.
It would just be a dumb thing to do. So I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, and then the Swamp match, I remember when I was watching it, I was just, the first thought in my head was, I'm really sick of these cinematic matches. They're just doing them to death. And I was having a conversation with my girlfriend about this, because she's been watching a lot of the pay-per-views with me, and she was saying, oh, I like that they do this. And I'm like, I don't like that they do it every single month, because it just basically kills the vibe of when it comes around. It doesn't feel as special. You know what I mean? It'd be if they did a Hell in a Cell match or a TLC match or something every single month.
Yeah.
And it just kills the gimmick.
Well, so she watched the pay-per-view. I mean, is she there right now?
Yeah, she's in the next room.
Okay. Because I'd be curious to get her overall opinion of the pay-per-view. As somebody who, I'm assuming she's probably a casual fan, right? She's not going on internet forums and stuff. I'd be curious to get her opinion.
Yeah, nothing like that. Yeah, she just watches some of the big events with me, and every now and then if I decide to watch a Raw or SmackDown, and I haven't watched a Raw or SmackDown in literally 6 months, just because I can't sit through any of those shows. And, you know, not this past Friday, but I think it was last week when they had the karaoke,
mm-hmm.
I remember I turned on my TV. I was like, oh, SmackDown's on. And then when I turned it on, the karaoke thing was going on. I watched it for about 2 minutes, and I was just like, I can't watch this. What the fuck are they doing with the show?
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, look.
I don't know. I watched...
I was going to say, I mean, if I thought maybe she was there, I'd tell you to put her on and let's get her opinion here just to get a different perspective on what she thought of the show.
Yeah, I could put her on real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Go get her.
Hey, so someone wants to know what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
I'm on the pay per view?
Yeah, on what we just watched.
Okay. I have a really quick question, though.
Sure.
Can I cuss?
Yeah, of course you can.
Because it was a shit show.
There you go. See, that felt good. That's why I do it every week. It feels great. It feels great to cuss and let it all out.
Okay. Fuck yes.
See, it's like therapeutic.
No, I haven't, yeah, it's very therapeutic for cussing. I don't know why. It's freedom of speech. I don't know why people get mad about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I haven't really been following that much about WWE, mostly because I haven't been really impressed with the entire shit show. But Sasha versus Asuka match did start really good until the network went down. That sucked. But I honest to God had a great belly laugh when I saw that fake eye that Rey Mysterio had on his
the gumball,
and I hate
the gumball.
Yeah, it was a gumball. It was hilarious, and I was enjoying a nice steak burger, and then I had to see Seth Rollins peeking his guts out. Why?
Well, because that's I'll tell you why.
I was hungry.
She's on a roll here.
And then the swamp. The swamp match, I mean...
I'll just let her take over.
I don't know what to say about it. It was... the editing was pretty good, I guess, but...
Well, I think we lost her. Oh, man, she was on a roll, too. She was giving her thoughts on everything. I think we lost her. I think she cut out on us there. But she was on a roll. And I love that, though. I like to get the perspective of somebody who is not, like, a diehard fan. Because I just, in my mind, I cannot imagine a casual viewer who would flip this stuff on and see some of the stuff that we had on the show and just wouldn't think to themselves, who would watch this shit? And just keep flipping. I mean, it might actually convince them to, like, just stay on it for a minute because they can't believe or they don't understand what they're looking at. But, like, I wonder, like, you always want to be making new fans. Right, all of us became fans at some point. Some of us became fans when we were little kids, maybe because your parents or your grandparents watched. Other people didn't become fans until they were in like high school, maybe, or college, or maybe you weren't even in school anymore, and you just thought, "Oh, this wrestling thing is kind of cool. I think I'll start watching it." And I feel like now we're in this generation, we're in this period where how many people in their right frickin' mind, unless you're on drugs, would flip onto some of the stuff that this company does and would want to stick with it and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to watch that every week. I'm going to be a fan. Like, we're probably like this lost generation now of fans that we're going to have. And it's sad. I just think the whole thing I find to be extremely sad. Let me play catch up with some of these super chats here. Always good, by the way, to get the female perspective here on the show. Casanova King with the $20. I mentioned Casanova King. Thomas Corrigan with the $5. Braun beat up a guy wearing the old Luke Harper gear. Then a guy wearing Dark Order-esque gear. Then laughed at a man on fire. Good times. All right. Dry chicken without flavor. Thank goodness Otis did not attempt to cash in his... Well, he should have been. He should have been there in the swamp. Why shouldn't he cash in? Otis could have, like, popped out of the swamp or something. That would have been the smart thing to do. M. Bison says, I won first place. Was that you? I don't know if it was him or not. Well, if it was you, congratulations. Straight Bullet, AEW buried Brian Cage. No, they didn't. Come on now. And Bob the Builder, Matt Morgan says hello. Chase Wood with the $5. How long until we get three faces of Bray entering and being eliminated from the Royal Rumble like we did with Mick Foley a number of years ago? That's if we even get a Royal Rumble this year. I don't know what they're going to do for the Rumble. think it's supposed to be in Seattle. I think it ain't going to be in Seattle. Reekin Son, turning 24 on Tuesday. What were you doing at that age for fun or for work? Well, for work, I was doing what I'm still doing now, since I've been doing that for, this is 15 years I've been working in PR. And I was doing, when I was 24, was I doing this podcast? I don't know if I was doing this podcast. I might have been doing this podcast. I don't know. It's a good question. And Mysterioso81, Nintendo should put out a new game and call it Bayou Bray. Let's take some more calls. Again, Super Chats are still open. I do appreciate all of your support. Paying for all these pesky phone calls here. We got a lot of them tonight, too. 347.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm McDonald's. Just getting a McFlurry.
Did you say you're a McDonald's?
Yeah, I'm getting a McFlurry.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You get me a six-piece chicken nugget while you're there.
After this show, I might as well, man.
Yeah, why not? Treat yourself.
Yeah. This is Casanova King, by the way.
Oh, Casanova King. Okay, yeah, I just read your Super Chat for a second time. I forgot. I actually reread your Super Chat again.
Hey, thanks for the acknowledgement. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Shout out to the chat, by the way.
Always. Always a shout out to the chat. Now, did you see the show tonight, or have you been hanging out at McDonald's all night?
No. I'm just getting off. I was watching the show when I was at work, and the best way I could put it is...
Well, I hope your boss doesn't find out.
No. He's cool. But my thoughts about the show was just, wow, that really just kept going.
Yeah. It was a show.
Yeah, it was barely a show. I really enjoyed the, I thought the Bray, not the Bray, the McIntyre-Ziggler match was tolerable. It was okay. Nothing special. I really enjoyed it. I saw some of the Sasha and Asuka match, but again, I was at work, so I was back and forth. I saw the end of it, and I was just as perplexed as you were with the ending. I was like, if Asuka sprayed the referee, shouldn't she get DQ'd? Isn't that an automatic DQ? You attack the referee, technically.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the whole thing is just convoluted. None of it really makes any sense, and it's just a whole, I guess they want you to watch on TV and see how it's going to be resolved, but again, it ruined what otherwise was the best match on the show. Well, actually, let me take that back. I phrased that wrong. It didn't ruin it. It was still a very good match, but it didn't end as good as it could have because it just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So I wouldn't say it ruined the whole match, but it took it down a few notches.
Right. I can agree with that. Also, regarding the swamp match. I don't know what WWE is doing. Do you think it seems like they're just taking the ideas from 2K20 with these downloadable content matches.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's, no, thank you.
It's like, yeah. Oh, I hear in the background.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Ordering his
it's
food.
Like the 2K20 matches with the downloadable content, with the swamp matches.
Now I'm hungry. I want McDonald's.
And Frankenstein.
I want McDonald's now. You got me hungry.
Well, I'm sorry, man.
God damn. I don't think I've had McDonald's in like 10 years or something. But like now I want like nuggets and they have those shamrock shakes. Oh, I can't have a shamrock shake, so I guess it doesn't matter.
No. No, I haven't had McDonald's. I don't eat McDonald's like that either, but I was just in a...
It would be a horror show if I had any kind of shake. It would be a horror show here in this apartment, I could tell you that.
Yeah, no dairy for Solomon.
No dairy for Solomon Monster. Oh, no. I'll be praying.
No dairy for Solomon.
It's going to be a bad night for me.
Yeah, and we don't want that because you might miss a show, and we just can't have that. We need the streak like The Undertaker. We need the streak to keep going.
So are you implying that I'm past my prime and I just don't know when to quit?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
not say that.
Okay. Any other points here? Because I want to just move on to the final calls here.
No. Yeah, I'm going to let you go. That was just my main point. The show was exactly what it was. It was a shit show. I don't know what Vince or Bruce is thinking. It's just whoosh. But I had one more thing. I don't know if you know, but did you hear about Michael Keaton coming back as Batman in the new Flash movie?
I heard something about that. I mean, is that confirmed? Is that a done deal?
It looks like it might be a done deal there in the works. He might be coming back, but as Bruce Wayne. I don't think he's coming putting his suit back on. I think he's just coming back as Bruce.
Ah, well, that's a little disappointing, though. I was hoping he'd be back in the old suit from 89.
He's like 60 years old.
That's the whole point. You put him in the suit, it doesn't matter. He doesn't look 60 in a suit. He's covered up. That's why all these luchadors in the Mexican promotions, they can wrestle into their 70s because they have a freaking mask on, so you can't really see how old they are.
You see, this is why Phantasma wants to change the culture. That's why.
That's right. El Legado del Phantasma. All right, listen. I want you to listen. Enjoy your McDonald's because I feel like it's going to get cold. So enjoy your McDonald's, and I'm going to let you go here unless you got something else you want to say.
No. Just thank you for accepting my call. And once again, shout out to the chat. Shout out to you and keep doing your thing. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Man, now I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry. McDonald's. There is a McDonald's within walking distance. I might actually walk there at the end of this, but I'm not going to do that. All right, we're going to wind down here. I will take a few more calls because all the lines are jammed up here, which is good. I like seeing that. But we got some more super chats here coming in. Dick Tickles, who called in earlier. Reekin Sun, how can Impact build on the momentum they have right now? Momentum is a very relative thing. I guess they have a little bit of momentum right now. See, momentum means different things to different companies. The little bit of momentum they have right now, you know what the best thing they could do? Because apparently the buy rate was way up. Now, I don't know what that means. It was way up from what they normally do. If you normally do 0%, however many buys that would equate to, and you go way higher than that, maybe you go up to 2%. I mean, again, everything is relative. But if the buy rate was higher and the interest level was higher, you got TV coming up this week. You got the Motor City Machine Guns challenging the North. That should be a pretty good match. You got EC3 was teased at the end of the show. Eddie Edwards is the new champion. So you know what? The Good Brothers are there. Just put together a blowaway first TV show. Because you want to hook those people in and give them a reason to keep watching. If you have your first TV coming out of Slammiversary this week, and it's kind of like a dull show, those people are going to give up. They ain't going to give you a second chance. So the best thing they could do is pretend like it's the night after WrestleMania. Like those old Raws the night after WrestleMania. And just put on the best show, the most exciting show that you can do. That would be my advice. If I were the promoter, that's what I would do. I'd want to hook those people in. NWO Elite, thank you for the $10. Walking Tall with the $5. What does it say about a person who listens to wrestler podcasts and shoot interviews but does not watch the product? I think that just says you're a wrestling fan who's disenfranchised with the product. Guess what? There's a lot of you out there. There's a lot of people like that out there. There's a lot of people who listen to podcasts and YouTube shows like mine. And don't even watch. They rely on people like me to tell them what's going on from week to week because they just can't stomach the product. They can't stomach three-hour shows and comedy or empty arena shows, you know, during the pandemic. So what do? They listen to podcasts. So a lot of people out there like that, more than you might think. And Dry Chicken, that caller makes me want to get McDonald's. Yeah, I know, right? We should all go to McDonald's. We'll have like a whole group gathering at McDonald's. Actually, doesn't sound like a bad idea. Let's see here. I'll take a couple more, and then we'll wrap up. 409.
Hey, Solid Monster. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Joseph from Silby, Texas.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing? You know, after watching this, I've got a lot more respect for you. Because you have to suffer through this shit every Monday, every Friday, and we just listen to you. Man, I don't know how you do it. Seriously.
You know, sometimes it's the easiest thing in the world to do because you watch a show that you really like, and so when it's over, like some weeks when I do the Dynamite stream, right? And there are some WWE pay-per-views where it's like, all right, great. I can't wait. I'm going to talk about all this stuff, and here's how they could do this. Maybe they'll go in this direction. You're all... like a big main event, maybe you're all amped up. And then you get a show like this, which is this show was a very mixed bag. So there was some really like good wrestling on the show, but it's like having a cookie. And the outer layer of the cookie is like made out of avocado. And I hate avocado. An avocado cookie sounds like the worst thing in the world. I just created it in my head now. But the avocado cookie sounds like the worst thing in the world. But like on the inside, like the filling, right? It's like fudge and like the really good stuff. And that's kind of like what this pay-per-view was. In the middle, there was some good stuff. But boy, was it wrapped in shit. And it tastes awful. That was Extreme Rules.
Yeah, man.
That's the horror show. So, yeah. When you have nights like that, it's not as fun. But when I get to interact with you guys, it makes it all worthwhile. So it's all good.
I hear you, man. One more thing I wanted to say. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is just me. That Universal title has a curse on it. Honestly, I mean, like, has anybody ever had, like, since that thing's been created? I mean, for one, I remember watching that pay-per-view and they brought that red thing. I was like, what the hell is this? And then they turned it blue. I got a little bit, but like seriously, I mean, Braun has been like completely boring. And last year, Seth Rollins, boring. It's like everybody that holds that title is just boring. Like, I don't know. Like, do you think they?
You know what though? I want to just kind of piggyback on the point that you just made, because you made a very interesting point where you said this Universal title feels cursed. In a way, you're not wrong, because the very first time that we saw the Universal title, Finn Balor won the championship, right? And he got hurt. So the very next night, the first ever Universal champion, and already we had an injury, and they had to vacate the title. And then, I guess, Roman Reigns, when he was going through his stuff, right? Roman Reigns had to surrender the Universal title because I think of his leukemia came back. I think he was the champion at the time. I think if my timeline is right, he was the Universal Champion. So he had to give up the title. And then this year, it was going to be Roman Reigns challenging for the Universal title. He bows out. Braun Strowman is the replacement. So he wins the championship. And then he's gone on to have this unbelievably just boring, uneventful, crappy run, in my opinion, as the champion. So you know what? You're not wrong. That Universal title has some bad luck. It has some bad vibes attached to it.
A lot of bad luck, man. A lot of bad luck. You know what? Winged Eagle. I'm with you, man. Winged Eagle. Winged Eagle for life.
That's right, man. Absolutely. You and I are on the same page with that. Winged Eagle for life right there.
All right.
Wait, where we go? Right there. Boom. Even the Big Eagle. I'll take the Big Eagle, too, over what we got now.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite. I mean, Winged Eagle is number two, you know.
All right. Well, now I got to let you go. Now I got to cut you off for saying that. That's the end of you now. So,
thank you for having me on the show, man.
Take care. Winged Eagle. Winged Eagle is number two to no one. Winged Eagle takes second place to no one. And let's see here. Who do we go to? Man, there's so many calls. I wish I can get to everybody, but I want to wrap things up here. 2 hours. It's a good stream, right? It's a good stream. I want to send you guys to bed at a normal time. Although, if you're listening, I guess people could be listening from anywhere in the world. I shouldn't say that. If you're on the West Coast, it's still early. Let's go to New York. 347.
Help me.
What's going on?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi. Doll Monster, yeah. Hello, hi.
Hi.
Yeah? Oh, okay. My question is... like it's about Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not about Extreme Rules. Like it's about the cinematic stuff. So, like, what idea do you have for like a future cinematic thing in the future? And yeah.
So, like a future cinematic type match they could do.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see here. Future cinematic match that they could do. We've seen a cinematic match in a swamp. We've seen a cinematic match in a graveyard. I'm sorry, a boneyard. We've seen a cinematic match in an office building. We've seen a cinematic match. I don't even know how to describe the Bray Wyatt John Cena one. It was in a ring. It was everywhere. So where else could they do a cinematic match? That's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to think about, like, what location would be fun or would really work for a cinematic-type match that they haven't already done. We've seen it indoors. We've seen it out. Even NXT, you know, they did the street fight or whatever they called it outside with the cars, right, with Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole. So that was film cinematic style. I mean, that's a good question. I'd have to give that some more thought as far as where... I think they're probably doing too many of them and should dial it back a little bit. Turbo says, in the mall. That could be fun. Cinematic match, like in the Mall of America or something. And then they go from store to store, just like trashing every single place. I kind of would love to have a sequel to the supermarket brawl we had with Booker T and Stone Cold. Maybe they could do one in like a Fairway or something, which is a gigantic store. You could do a cinematic match in Fairway. Anyway, they got all the groceries and all the different items that they can play with and plunder and throw around and stuff. And throw fruit at each other. Somebody says a beach match. Cinematic match on a beach. They could do that at SummerSlam. Let's see here. What else? Race car track. WWE Crush Hour. Yeah, I never played that game. On a plane. Plane ride from hell too. There's an idea. Cinematic match at Vince McMahon's home. I think Vince McMahon doesn't sleep. I think he works all the time. Titan Tower is his home. So we've already seen that. Solomonster's house. Well, that's not going to be a very... This is not a very big apartment, so it's not going to be a very fun match. I'll think more about that, but these are some good ideas here. These are all very good ideas. Again, please vote if you haven't already done so. The poll is not looking good for Extreme Rules, although we've already got 2,500 votes. But man... 26% thumbs up, 73% thumbs down. A decisive thumbs down for Extreme Rules, which on the whole was not a great show. It had its moments. It was a very mixed bag. When the show was over, I just thought to myself, what the hell did I just watch? And there were a lot of very frustrating things about this show. Some good wrestling, but yeah, I was not a fan. I really was not a fan of Extreme Rules, unfortunately. So, with all of that, let me just run through these last bit of Super Chats here, because they're still coming in. Reek & Son, Meetup 2020 at McDonald's. Horror Fan Craig, just joining in. Did you already do the draw? I did. So, this is going to be archived on the YouTube channel in a little bit once I stop the stream. Give it a little while to process, and then you can go back. After the review ended, we did the drawing, so you can go back, and I won't spoil the winners for you. Reek & Son again in Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Universal title belt is bad luck. Finn Balor injury. Roman's cancer. Yeah, all the things I mentioned. You know, Goldberg beating The Fiend. How could I forget? Man, they gotta bury that title. They should throw that title in the swamp. The title is nothing but bad luck, and it looks like shit. On top of everything else, it's an ugly belt. Get rid of it. It has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Just get rid of it. All right, guys. I'm gonna let you all go. Thank you for making me your Extreme Rules stop here for the big pay-per-view recap tonight. I hope you'll come on back Wednesday night and join me live for the AEW Dynamite recap, and I'll be back next month for SummerSlam. I'm here every single month talking to all the WWE pay-per-views, AEW pay-per-views. And give this video a thumbs up. I always neglect to mention it, but it really does help the video. So if you're going to join in, hit that thumbs up before you leave. I'm out of here. Have yourselves a great night. Be well. Stay safe. And I will see you back here for more live streaming on YouTube. Hopefully a much better show. I have a feeling it will be. AEW on Wednesday night. Until then, take care, guys.